Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Sensei.
As Tony pointed out earlier, we're having a spring day this morning. Supposed to have full sun and full smiles. So today, I'm going to talk a little bit about surrender and what is the place of surrender in our practice. Now, to begin with, the word surrender usually has a very negative connotation to it, and frequently associated with war, where the losers surrender, they wave the white flag. It also carries this negative meaning, I think, into everyday life, this winning and losing. And if surrender is seen as a loss, a defeat, or to become less than, that's not a good thing. And also, what the emotion that usually goes along with losing or surrendering in this sense is shame. So if we surrender, we lose, we give something up, a lot of times we're seen as, well, we experience ourselves as less than for having surrendered. And again, the emotion that goes along with that is shame. And if we flip to the other side, if we flip to the spiritual realm, to surrender is to become more, not to become less. And the emotion that's connected with surrender in this sense is joy. So I'm going to read some words from Thomas Merton, who has quite a list of attributes. He's a Trappist monk, a theologian, a mystic, a poet, a social activist, and a religious scholar. So Merton says, "We cling and clutch to the way things are and postpone our transformation. This is where so many holy people break down. As soon as they reach the point where they can no longer see the way and guide themselves by their own light, they refuse to go any further. But it is in this darkness that we find true liberty. It is in surrender that we are made strong. This is the might that empties us." So if we use this metaphor of darkness, we could say that in darkness we are asleep. So our job is to wake up, to see the light, and to realize our true nature. So spiritually, in darkness, we cling to all the ways that we maintain a separate self, a self that is not connected to the oneness of life. So seeing the light is when we surrender who we think we are and experience being at one with all of life. My old friend Mary Oliver wrote about the loss of her partner. "Someone I loved gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift. It required her to surrender to life as it is, as part of her grieving of her loss." Her surrendering was not a negative. It was a part of the process of accommodating herself, of accepting the fact that she lost her partner. Now, I have a couple of experiences. I think I've mentioned these before, but I'm going to use them in the context of surrendering. The first experience I had was after maybe 5 years of sitting, I was at a retreat and there was a break and Ray Cicchetti and I went out for a walk. I was walking along outside. It was in, I can't remember where it was, but it was in a mountainous area. We were walking outside and silently just walking, not talking to each other. And I looked up into the sky because the moon was very bright. And I saw this bright light, which was much brighter than any of the other stars. And I now know it was Venus. And there was this experience for a moment that I was no longer present. It's hard to explain this in words, but I was no Carl with all these attributes and all this other stuff. I was not present. It was just Venus, but then that name even dropped away. So the way it was the becoming of one with this planet. But as soon as I realized that I wasn't there, that there was no experiencer, I panicked. Now, I didn't run around screaming and hollering, but fortunately, Ray was there with me, and I told him about this. And so he said, "Well, it sounds like you've had an insight." Now, you would think that that was a good thing. You know, I could go home and put it up on my board and the day and, you know, but it really scared me. And I didn't give up practice, but I was very leery about practice. And going to retreats because I was, the bottom line, afraid of losing touch with myself. I was clinging very tightly to my identity. And then the other thing that happens when I started studying with Roshi Kennedy, eventually I started koan practice. And the first koan in our lineage that most people start out with is the koan mu. And there's a very brief interchange between Zen Master Joshu and a monk who asks in all earnestness, does a dog have Buddha nature? And Joshu just says, mu. And that's it. That's the end of the interchange. So I started working with that koan, but now I'm back to where I was before because I realize that in order to really be able to answer this, I needed to surrender. I needed to let go of all the ideas I've ever had about koans and how it all worked and all the answers I ever heard. And I also had to face the fact that if I had to give that up, part of it was I had to give up myself. I had to get out of the way. So again, I was confronted or offered the opportunity to surrender. And eventually that happened. So those are my personal experiences that have occurred when faced with having to surrender. So we know this, but Zen practice calls on us to wake up. And that is whether we're sitting with breath or doing shikantaza or studying koans, we ultimately must surrender all ideas of self, a self that's separated from life. And we must fall into life as it is. We must become life itself. And so surrender really is not about becoming less. It's about becoming more. Because if we surrender, we realize that we are the entire universe. And it doesn't get much bigger than that. In fact, it's limitless. It can't be limited to a word like big. Many years ago, when I had my first house, there was an old craggy apple tree in the yard. And faithfully, every spring, apple blossoms would appear. And then leaves would appear. And then as it ripened, as the tree grew into the springtime, apples began to appear. And the apples would grow, and when they got to a certain size and a certain weight, they would drop to the ground. And then not too long after that, as they dropped, they were eaten by deer. Now, the thing about these apples was that they didn't struggle with their existence or their fate. They had no self-consciousness. They simply surrendered to the lives that they were genetically determined to have. And that tree functioned at one with life, fearlessly. So I think it's true. Now, this isn't true for everybody, but I think it is true for most people on the path of awakening. They're faced in their practice with the having to surrender. And I think most of us wouldn't agree that this is probably true for most people. So this, we may find this, like I did, the being faced with surrender as overwhelming. Now, the way I would metaphorically describe this is there's a voice that represents a deep sense of fear. There's that voice in us having to do with the fear of letting go, the fear of letting go our attachment to ourselves as a separate self. And that's a self that we experience as being the center of the universe. And so we have this fear of letting go, the only way of being in the world that we have ever known, a way of being that's familiar, it's safe, and it allows us to feel like we're in control. Now, we heavily identify with this way of being in the world because it's who we think we are. And because we're so attached to this identity, there's a voice that keeps calling us, telling us, don't let go. Don't surrender. If you do, you will no longer exist. Don't let go. Don't surrender. That center of the universe will drop away. Now, at the same time, for most of us who encounter the issue in our practice of surrender, at the same time, there is another voice, and it expresses the realization that we have at a very core level that we are separate from life, and it longs to become one again with life. It longs to be whole, to be complete, and to be connected. So what we have is there's a polarity that exists in us, and this polarity must be reconciled, but it has to be done patiently. And to do this, we must accept our fear and bear witness to understand what is it that's causing the fear, but not an intellectual understanding, but an experiential understanding of what's causing it. So we shouldn't hide from it or push fear away, but accept it as a normal part of the process of awakening. And at the same time, we must also bear witness to our deep longing to be at one with life and allow it to come to light and to realize it as the heart of our being. So if we do this, if we work with this polarity in this way, this polarity will be transformed so that fear is not in opposition to awakening. It is just an essential part of the process. Somewhere along the way, I heard somebody ask this question, but I'm going to ask it now to you folks. When has anyone ever become less by surrendering to the truth of who they are? And that's the truth of who they are in a very deep spiritual sense. So I'm going to end with Mary Oliver again. Whoever you are, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Thank you.